Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens, I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. If, though, this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. And if you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's really good to have you along again. The world of digital content is a fast-moving one at the best of times, and 2023 seems to have shaped up no differently. Here to talk about some of the major trends in this space with which business marketers everywhere need to contend is Head of PR and Digital Content at Crowe, Jennifer Spencer-Charles. Jennifer, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me. Delighted to be here.
Great to have you here. And before we dive into PR and digital, why don't you tell us a bit about Crowe?
Yeah, of course. So Crowe is actually one of the UK's leading audit, tax, advisory and risk firms. So we deal with a major sort of plethora of clients, from small startup businesses through to major corporations. And we advise them on everything to do with tax and accounting.
Brilliant. So I think your experience is going to be really, really interesting here. So thinking of the major developments in digital content that we've seen of late, I'm going to have to raise a few spectres. We're going to have to talk about TikTok in business, aren't we? We're going to have to talk about the rise of creators. We're going to have to talk about the coming of super apps. So which of those, or maybe there's another, is having the biggest impact on business marketers right now?
Well, right now, from what I've seen working in my space and looking at other businesses working within financial services or within professional services, we have obviously seen that huge rise in TikTok and them coming into working with apps such as that. I think this stems really from this whole idea of putting your people at the center of your promotion. You know, it's not just about selling a service, it's about selling your people, showcasing their personalities, what they're like to work with. But at the same time, it's kind of that double-headed approach where it's not just actually promoting the clients and the services, it's also ticking a box for recruitment and retention. So you kind of can do both at once, which is always great. And the research we're doing at the moment is into TikTok. We're not there yet. Because it's one of those things, you have to do it right. You have to find the right type of people to put into it. You know, the worst thing you can do is go and do like a big dance or something silly like that and end up actually damaging your reputation rather than actually finding that niche, finding that way, that audience and where they need to be. So part of research we're doing at the moment is actually in early careers recruitment. So this is something we know that the younger generation are living on this app. It's, you know, one of the largest in the world still. And it's something that we've started to do focus groups on, working with our early careers, working with our trainees, finding out if that's something they want to do, if that's something they would be interested in themselves. And then as I think we've developed that side, we've started to look at it from a business perspective as well. And that's things such as, you know, are there little snippets of tax advice that we could be giving on this app? Right now, if you go onto it, you'll see many, many mortgage advisors talking about that side and how to apply for a mortgage. And you'll see even legal advice. There's a woman that was on there talking about tips for when you're going through a divorce and the different things you need to do on that side. So there's such a plethora of content that I feel this is somewhere that no matter the sector, no matter the business, you will find somewhere or an audience that you can grow and that can connect with you. And again, what's nicer, it's a personal connection. You know, you can find that tax expert and have that tax expert talk to them. It's not going to be somebody like me that comes from the PR background that's kind of writing a script. It's genuinely them just talking face to face. So it's definitely something growing. I've seen some of the bigger companies already sort of dipping their toes into it. I would say it's something to do with caution. As I say, because of the fact that there's a fine line between it being fun and creative and you actually not looking as professional as you should be.
How about if we kind of move kind of Castlania kind of broader than TikTok, if you look at video content overall, how has the value of video content changed over the last year? And again, how should business marketers respond to that?
Oh, it's insane. I mean, video content has just gone, it's gone through the roof. I mean, I've seen so much coming out now in terms of research, of even down to the percentage. So if you're looking at something like LinkedIn, the percentage of your content, depending on the size of your firm, of how much content should be video in order for you to hit that algorithm and hit that audience. So everybody knows that this is the way forward. But what's most exciting, I think, is to see this shift quite a large amount actually into putting your people at the center. As I say, with things like TikTok, with some things that you see on social media and Instagram with these, you know, influencers and creators, you know, people have learned that people buy from people. And so there's some great examples we have, even from our firm, where from both a sector side and kind of that people-based ED&I, kind of the fun side of it. Not that the sector side isn't fun. But when you put forward a bit of content, for example, if we had a manufacturing event where we are dealing directly with local manufacturers to support them on getting back to business, dealing with, you know, supply chain and all these other issues that they're going through at the moment, we could easily write an insight. We could put a little article up with a link. And yeah, we would get some people that will click on it, read on it, and potentially, fingers crossed, get some people contact us to find out information. But when we got our head of manufacturing to do a little short piece to camera, just to talk about the event, talk about what happened and what were the key things that came away from that and why people need to be getting involved, even though that content would have been exactly the same as we put in an article, seeing him and seeing him as a person and seeing that content come through, you know, as in, oh, that's the person I'm going to deal with, that's the person I'm going to talk to, it went through the roof. And, you know, we had such great engagement and we had so many more people even talk about coming next year because they missed it this year. And then you have this other side, which is actually kind of more emotional, I guess. But we're dealing with an audience or clients and our own people at the moment that are coming across four different generations. You've got boomers, Gen Xers, millennials and Gen Z all working and living together, both as clients and as colleagues. And what they want out of their business and what they want out of their service provider is changing. So an example from the sort of ED&I side, we actually went up to Manchester over the August bank holiday for Manchester Pride. It's something we did last year. We wanted to come back again this year to show support not only for our LGBT colleagues, but also our clients. And what we actually started to hear from our own colleagues was that there's a side to this that we're not thinking about. And what I mean by that is, when we look at digital content and we realize that the real center of digital content now and video content now is our people, we also have to think about that audience. And in this case, we're dealing with clients that are potentially part of the LGBT network. And one of the things that was raised to us is, if, for example, one of our clients is a private company owner and they're going through dealing with legacy of that business, they might not be comfortable talking to somebody to explain that actually they're both two men in a relationship. They don't have children. They're leaving it to their niece and nephews because they don't know how that client is going to react. If they had a member of an LGBT network or LGBT community as their service provider, as their accountant, they'd feel more comfortable. So instantly we thought, wow, that's something we hadn't even thought of. So I don't know why, you know, we've got this brilliant network, but for the first time, it made sense that when we were handing out our flags with a little QR code, that we actually created a website that spoke specifically, if you tagged or went through that QR code, spoke specifically about how we work with the LGBT networks or how, about our LGBT network, how we would deal and how, you know, issues that we have dealt with LGBT clients. And in fact, that you could speak to a member of our team that is part of that community. So when we did our videos and when that went out, not only were you showing this amazing side to our business and the people that are part of the community, we were also getting our head of that department or head of that network, and also happens to be one of our private client partners, talking about their experience, that you can deal with them. And it really brings that person to the forefront and makes you realize that, you know, we're more than just your accountant.
How about if we move to the space of social selling? What are the key developments that you've seen there?
So absolutely. So actually, as I've just been saying, with the developments in video content and it us putting people at the heart of things we're doing, it's the same when it comes to the social selling. If you're trying to sell a product, if you're trying to gain a new audience, new clients, and promote what you're doing, yeah, you can absolutely go the normal way of putting out in regular adverts, regular content. But when you have somebody at the heart of it who becomes that spokesperson, somebody that is, you know, an expert in their field, but somebody that actually they can relate to, it makes a massive difference. I mean, let's go back. You can even go back years ago. I'm going to show my age now. But if you remember the Halifax adverts, I don't know if you remember them, and you had Howard.
My age, if I agree with you.
But Howard became like almost a celebrity because they were probably one of the first to actually put their own people in their content. But yeah, it went through the roof again with all of their... Everybody thought this was an amazing thing to do. It seems like it's almost normal to do now in some jobs, not all. But who knew? Who thought accountants would become, you know, the next big thing, and they're going to become the next celebrities? We hope ours do. But you do have to always remember at the base of this, and I think there's always going to be a bit of a cautious or a thing just to keep at the back of your mind, as I always do. My guys in my office, they're accountants, they're not actors, you know, and, you know, putting them in front of a camera can be very nerve-wracking. So you've got to make sure you get the right person, the right personality to do the right thing. So remembering digital content doesn't fall just within that video sphere, it's podcasts as well. You know, so when you have the right person, it's finding the right medium, it's finding the right platform and the right thing for them to talk about. You know, you can have some are great in front of the camera and can happily talk about this, the launch of a new product or the launch of a new service that we have and how it's going to help you. But there's others that might actually, it works far better when you put them into a scenario such as this, where you're sitting chatting about that topic and giving advice in that way. So you still get a chance to showcase the person and their expertise, but just in a slightly different medium.
No, good point. What about curated content then?
So this is something that we've looked at, I would say, in more detail over the last year. So we've always dealt with content that we've been quite reactive to pieces. We haven't really spent a lot of time or had the ability really to sit and really plan out content of, you know, what are we going to produce? How are we going to share it? Who are we posting it to? How are they going to interact with it and share that content? And where it really stemmed from, I think, initially was dealing with things such as the budget, where we the government comes out, they announce their budget for the year. And what we tended to focus on purely was just issuing content to press. So we would just get our quotes together, get that issued. But actually, what we wanted to start looking at is, again, getting our people involved. How can we create stuff that can be shared, can be something that people find interesting, but again coming from our people. So yeah, we've done it with Instagram, we've dealt with loads of EDNI content that we pulled together. We started writing new blogs. You know, there's so much stuff out there that you can do in the terms of digital that seems really simple. But the most important thing, I think, is that planning side, sitting and looking at what have you got coming up over the next year. What works best for what platform and for what piece of content? Instagram is something we launched just over 2 years ago because we realized that we had a space for all of our recruitment, our EDNI, our people-based content. And yes, you can post some of that on LinkedIn, but is that the right space for it all the time? Not really. Mm-hmm. So we launched Instagram as a way of saying, look, this is where our people-based stuff is. This is where we can use all of those kind of trends and hashtags and different things that are going on in that sphere that make more sense whilst building a new audience. You know, we have our very much our LinkedIn audience, our businesses, but actually building that audience on the LinkedIn, building that audience on the Instagram side, it had kind of a double whammy again, because you've got clients that are potentially on there, you've got potential new students that are on there, you've got recruitment people from other businesses that may want to come and join us are on there, and this is a chance for them to see us as a person, not just a business.
So I think as we've been talking, right, it's just clear there is just so much going on in this.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
So which of the movements we've been talking about, or maybe there's another one that you have, but you know, which of these movements should business marketers kind of go to first or be most concerned about, and why?
You know, I always say, and I've actually said it before in a previous podcast I did, that I think sometimes you just have to go back to basics. And what I mean by that is there is so much, as you say, that what you can end up doing is, you know, I see people's emails and they've got every single logo of every single platform there possibly could be on there.
And take then no chances.
You know what I mean? And it's like, which one do you go to, you know? And then what also then happens is you have the same content on every single platform. There's nothing different. So this is the danger that you get into. You know, even in the last couple of years, you've had TikTok launch. You've now got Threads that's launched, you know, and how long before the next thing? And, you know, as we said, you've got super apps coming, you know, at the moment, you know, they've said, I think it's mainly in sort of Asia is the main user. But I think I read somewhere actually that by 2027, 50% of people will be using super apps, which has everything in one app. So what happens to all the others? You know, there's so much going on. I think what people actually need to do, and what we've been trying to do, and I can tell you this, you know, with all the examples from our side, that, you know, when I joined the firm only sort of coming up to 4 years ago, we had about 3,000 followers on LinkedIn. We've just hit 25,000. You know, we've launched Instagram, we've launched podcasts, we've grown on X as it now is. Our following. And that came from actually sitting and looking at the content in more detail, looking at the audience we're trying to reach and which platform fits that best. So although we're looking at TikTok, absolutely, we're not rushing into that. We're sitting and thinking about what is going to work best for what audience and the type of content that's on there. Yes, it's vast, the different types of people you find, but actually what will work best for us. And it's the same with Threads, not something we're on yet, but something we've got on the side, having a look at what's happening there. So my advice would always be to everybody when it comes to anything like this, don't just dive in. You know, I remember the day that Threads launched, you know, how many millions of accounts suddenly appeared on there. And now when you go on it, they've only got the post of the day they joined saying hi, and then that's it. And there's like nothing else. Because they jump on these trends. So build that platform, build that account. You know, it took a good year for us to build and make that decision to go onto even Instagram, which seems now like it's just a given. Of course you have an Instagram account, but you don't do that straight away because you need to take your time. So with all of these platforms, I would say don't rush into it. Think about what works best, but always have like a little side burner, because as I've said, you know, we've got so many different generations under one roof now that as one sort of generation leaves the workforce, the next will come in and they're going to be far more savvy when it comes to this digital content. They will probably have, you know, how many more apps are going to advance, you know, the AI, gosh, there's just so much going on. I'd just say take your time and just be wary that the worst thing you can do is go onto any form of sort of social media platform and just realize that, yeah, they've done two posts and left it, or, you know, or the content just feels a bit off because you're not actually the right audience for that. So I'd say, yeah, take your time with that, because we are and it's working out for us.
That's great advice. Jennifer, if people want to kind of reach out and have a natter with you, is there a way of doing that without getting into your spam filters?
Absolutely. You're more than welcome to contact me directly through LinkedIn. that's usually the best way. I do hang out on there quite a lot. You can just find me as Jennifer Spencer Charles on there.
Brilliant. Jennifer Spencer Charles, Head of PR and Digital Content at Crow. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Jennifer Spencer-Charles. Thanks to our technical person, Alicia Gratian. And thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk.